This is Robert Martellacci, Chief Digital Curator of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology magazine. This podcast is brought to you by C21 Canada, Canadians for 21st Century Learning and Innovation. I'm honored to have join me for a Mindshare Learning moment, Michelle Cordy. Ms. Cordy is a teacher and applied researcher. She has taught in both K-12 and higher education settings. Her focus has been on mathematics education and technology integration. Michelle also engages in classroom-based research with partners from academic institutions as well as industry partners. Currently, she teaches grade 3 with a one-to-one iPad initiative, and she is a Google Certified Innovator, an Apple Distinguished Educator, and holds a Master's of Education in Mathematics and Science Education. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join me this evening, Michelle.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on being selected as the closing keynote at one of the global's largest edtech industry events, ISTE 16, happening this June in Denver. You're amongst an esteemed group of presenters. How does that make you feel?
Really excited, proud, nervous, and ready to just continue doing what I've been doing in educational technology space, which is showing up, trying to learn as much as I can from my colleagues and make connections and maybe just throw in my little bit of what I've been learning along the way. So it's sort of, for me, a continuation of this participation in this space and a big piece in that participation, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Excellent. Now, have you been to many ISTE events in the past?
I've been to ISTE for the last 3 years in a row.
Oh, cool.
I've been really fortunate to get there with support of my board or various funding, provincial funding that's been available to me. So, yes, I've been there, and it is an absolutely mind-blowing experience. It is a gigantic conference. The trade show floor is like 2 football fields big. There are more sessions than you could ever possibly attend, and the energy over that conference is absolutely electric.
Yeah. And it's always cool connecting with people who you've known on Twitter, isn't it? Virtually, and then meeting them face-to-face is pretty cool.
Oh, for sure. It's funny. There are these spaces at ISTE conference that these hives of activity, these hubs of activity where people hang out, and some people don't even really go to sessions. They'll go to the bloggers' cafe, and they sort of hold court there all day and just wait for people to kind of, like, trickle through. And for some people, that's how they do, like, their best learning and networking, is just sort of putting themselves in one really social spot to see all their friends and make reinforce those relationships and make new ones. So it's definitely a very social event. And then it's so intense and so short-lived that somehow it gives us a really strong connection to put more energy back into those relationships to get through the other 360 days of innovation and thinking forward in the space. So it kind of solidifies real tight in those few days, and then carries that energy forward.
Absolutely, and we're thrilled to be a partner with ISTE once again and the Canadian government hosting our 7th annual Can-Am Partnering Reception Celebration of Excellence. So we'll make sure you're on the list.
Thank you.
What inspired your teaching with technology-infused pedagogy?
I like to try new things. I started my teaching career in 2001, and by 2006, I was already signed up for a master. Or 2004, I was already signed up for a master's program, asking questions and looking around for different answers. So for me, when Palm Pilots came on the scene, I was like, what are the classroom applications? I mean, even when I started teaching, I wanted to figure out ways of bringing outside world into my classroom. And so it was, digital cameras were really, really new and basic, and I was like, but I could take my old camera and shoot slides of, you know, this beautiful park outside my house and do a virtual field trip. And of course, now we have Google Expeditions with Google Cardboard. But whether it was something really lo-fi that seemed hi-fi at the time, doing slides and digital photography, I was just sort of looking for ways of amplifying classroom practice. And if that's your mindset, that took many of us into this educational technology space. And that was the big door through which I entered. And then it's educational technology is like a funhouse of doors upon doors and opportunities upon opportunities. And you just keep looking and the opportunities continue to grow.
Very cool. Now, do you have a mentor?
Definitely. Like I mentioned, in 2004, I went to Western and did a master's degree, and I was doing an MEd, and I met a woman who was doing her PhD at the time, and her name's Donna Katsopoulos, and I call her my guardian angel, because math jokes are funny to people like me that think math is really cool.
I like that.
And she, you know, we're dear friends 10 years later, and she is my number one person that I go to for deep thinking, for getting through little sticky bits. And she's not, interestingly, she's not an educational technologist. She is just a deep thinker and has a very open mind, but a critical mind at the same time, which makes her really actually the perfect mentor for the ed tech space.
Absolutely. I love your innovative spirit and sense of urgency around your approach to change leadership and your blog, Hack the Classroom. How did you come up with that branding? And it's very cool. And what inspired it? Did you get some weird looks when you used that term initially?
Hack the Classroom? Yeah, definitely. Actually, little fun fact about me. My husband bought me a sign, a neon sign that actually hangs in my living room that says Hack the Classroom. And it's like the bat sign for Batman. You know, you put it on and it's like radiates out the window of my house.
Actually, I think you have it on your Twitter background.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
That's cool.
Really, where that comes from is, first of all, I recognize that I am a classroom teacher in a publicly funded institution in Ontario. And so that means fundamentally that I'm not in private practice. So it is important for me that I work within these rules and curriculum guidelines that are well set, well intentioned, and very thoughtful, and done by people that are way smarter than me and have really dedicated their time to creating these curricula and these policies. And I honor that, and I really feel very fortunate to be a teacher in Ontario, because I do think that we're good at both improvement and innovation. And yes, there's more room to go, but I believe in the system that I work for, essentially. So I am a rule follower. It's not like I'm like a rogue teacher. I think some people see Hack the Classroom and they think that I'm going to be like all up doing my own thing. But I realized with Hack the Classroom, though, and why this name is important to me and it resonates with me, is that, you know, you follow these rules. I teach the curriculum. I'm accountable to these things. But then after I kind of check off those boxes, there is this vast space where I can play. There is the domain of the classroom, and it's magical, and it's mine, and I share it with the students. And in that space, I can do so much. There is so much room. There's an abundance of time, of flexibility for me to kind of hack and tinker and tweak and iterate and do something new and powerful in little ways every single day. And that's why Hack the Classroom is important to me, because I wanted to take that spirit of, what if I just jig this and do that and try this and do this sort of study of N of one and see what I can do to change the world for my students, and maybe a little bit more than that if I share it out. That's where that comes from.
Fantastic. How are your students responding to your teaching style?
I think, you know, the technology is engaging and empowering and certainly lots of fun for the kids. They come in my class in September, and they're pretty pumped to be the only one-to-one iPod class in Thames Valley.
Wow, you're lucky.
We're super lucky. There's no doubt about that. But I think what's really important to my teaching style is that I think that my students are competent and capable, and I believe in them, and at the very heart of it, and this is no different from leadership, I believe, it's the relationships. My kids know that I believe in them and that I'm going to help scaffold them towards success, and that I trust them with power tools, whether that be a 14-inch saw to hack Christmas trees into dens for our structures units, or whether that means that I'm going to let them use the internet and connecting with other children around the world to leverage learning about urban and rural communities in Ontario and beyond. So it's about recognizing that the kids in my class are really powerful and really unique, and I see that in them, and I give them the tools to be able to explore that. And that's what they respond to, I think, the most, is that they know that I'm there for them.
They are lucky to have you.
Thank you.
For sure. And what advice do you have for educators looking to make this digital leap?
Find a friend. Find a friend, yeah. And then find another friend, and then go get some more friends. I think that we do these things in our classrooms, and our classrooms can sometimes feel siloed. You know, we, as teachers, barely have time to go to the bathroom sometimes,
right.
Let alone, like, ask someone what they're doing for, you know, technology integration. So somehow we have to hack at our time and the day that we have to connect with teachers across the hall, and if that isn't groovy and working for you, then get online and connect. More specifically in Ontario, we're very lucky that we have the TLLP program, the Teacher Learning and Leadership Program, that's been going for 10 years now.
Wow.
In partnership with the OTF, Ontario Teachers Federation, and the ministry.
Right.
And they fund teacher-led projects. And whether somebody's interested in taking a digital leap or just even a leap in their own classroom in some different type of pedagogy. Maybe they want to investigate mindfulness in the classroom and well-being. There's funding available for teachers to work on projects. And for me, that has been one of the most essential things in my career.
What about Twitter as a professional learning tool? Is that not every teacher's on it? I know that we often see education conferences trending because it lends itself to sharing and professional learning. How would you recommend that to a teacher that's looking to just break into this edtech space?
Yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of teachers use Twitter. I think it depends on the question that you're asking, and then you have to go find the people, and then have a sense of where those people kind of hide out. Like, if you're a kindergarten teacher, my husband is a kindergarten teacher, for example, so he knows to go on Twitter and find the Reggio PLC chat. So,
right.
You have to, if I was going to encourage a teacher to get online and connect with other people virtually, I'd help them kind of figure out what exactly they're after and then guide them in that direction. On Twitter, of course, we use hashtags to kind of make segments of a really large social ecosystem.
Right.
But a lot of people reach out and find groups on Facebook as well, whatever works on them.
You know,
the interesting thing is showing up to these spaces and being dedicated to them for long enough that they start to feel conversational and they start to feel like you're not just putting something out there, you actually get something back. And that can take time, but people have to choose what they want to be interested in, step one, and then figure out where that group hangs out.
Right. And it's about giving and receiving, right? Like you give.
Pardon?
It's about giving and receiving, like the sharing part of it is once you get into that kind of mode of sharing and connecting and establishing a rapport, it just gains so much momentum.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And then you end up having sort of people that you can reach out to, like any other friend. Like if you need help with something, you know that you can reach out to somebody specific in your community. So over time, I feel like these social networks, they distill to a working group, if you will, of people that you rely on a regular basis that you know you can ping and you'll get a response from them pretty quickly. So that takes time, but it's fundamental to feeling like you're part of a group that's moving forward and not just feeling like you're on your own doing your own thing.
Excellent. Now, how important is district and principal leadership to innovate as you do in the classroom?
I have been so fortunate. Currently, my principal is Cindy Kassar at Stony Creek Public School here in Thames Valley, and she's very supportive. And before that, Stephen McComb and Sue Bruin, these principals that I've had that have been just so ready to say, yes, we'll figure out a way to do it. You've got this idea. Whether it be, like I said earlier, you know, getting my 8-year-old students to use saws to hack Christmas trees to make dens, or whether it's figuring out how to connect my devices when I went one-to-one in 2011, which was pretty early days for iPad.
Wow, that sure is.
Days for mobile learning, right?
But you were a pioneer. Could I use that term?
Sure, you can use it.
You know, you mentioned Palm Pilot earlier, and I just had this flashback to my first handheld device.
Right? Those are powerful. And then it was the question of getting that into kids' hands. So for me, as a classroom teacher, your leadership at the school level is essential. And I feel that the positive impact of people higher up the ladder, but it's really not as direct for me. Because I am a classroom teacher. I don't
right.
feel necessarily the change of tides that happen higher up, if you will. So the principal who has to do, you know, everything from fun fair to reading report cards to the daily grind of their very important job, for them to find time for me, you know, to validate, to cheerlead, to give permission, or to bestow forgiveness, however that order goes, is essential. And with the district, you know, in Ontario, we have really big school boards, and the district personnel do a good job of moving the whole board forward, but that happens at a level that is really quite a ways away from me.
Well, that's and that's very commendable. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a school of thought that, you know, there's a book, The Leader with No Title, by Robin Sharma. And, you know, John Malloy, the new director in Toronto District, you know, shared that philosophy. You know, everyone is a leader, can be a leader from within, right? And it takes, you know, I like to say a digital village to raise a child in the 21st century. And, you know, together we're stronger. So
I agree with that, and I think across Ontario, and you travel to many conferences, and so I'd be interested in what your perspective on this.
Yeah.
From my,
are you interviewing me now?
I might be. I'm lobbing the ball back to you. I think that there's room to grow in terms of the teacher leadership piece, and certainly as I mentioned before, the teacher learning and leadership program is really powerful. And what I'd like to see is a continuation of that. Like, that what you've just said is that, you know, we can see leadership at the top, we can see it in the middle, and we can see it, you know, at the bottom of the organization. And and having that all the way. And it's funny because, you know, at first we thought, oh, leadership, if change comes from the top. And then we said, no, it comes from grassroots. And now Michael Fullan talks about how change comes from the middle. And next we'll be talking about how it comes from all of these places.
Exactly.
So, and that's really what you've just said. And
right.
But I think there's work to be done. And when we talk about leadership, I think that there's often an assumption that we're talking about management and moving into a management position. So somebody like myself, I'm interested in leadership. That does not mean that I'm interested in becoming a school principal. I'm not interested in becoming a learning coordinator. I'm not interested in becoming director. I'm not interested in working for Apple. I'm not interested in working for Google. I have the best job in education. I'm a classroom teacher. So the space that I'm playing with that I want to carve out is this space where teacher as leader and teacher as researcher. So my perfect story for myself is where, for my career, is where I get to stand inside the classroom, show that you can be a leader from within, that I can partner with higher education and do research as I have. I've over 10 publications and scholarly journals, that I can partner with industry, and that I can be a positive force for change from within my school board, but I can still do that without it taking away anything from the 8-year-olds that I'm totally dedicated to every single day. So that, and I'd like to see a group of other teachers that feel the same as me, kind of like owning that place in the classroom, that leadership from within, without somebody being like, you know, you're doing a really great job, you should be a principal. No.
Right.
It should be me. And I have a place here, and it's valuable, and I can contribute. And it's not for everyone, and it's not better or worse. It's just different, and it's a path I want to take. And there's many educators in Ontario that want to fill this space as well. And I think that we could do a better job of making that space, you know, not something that just a few of us are like, hey, this is something we want to do, and we do it by the skin of our teeth and at the cracks of our lives, at the edges of our lives. but tried to make it more central and a more meaningful part to move the whole system forward. So we're like, yes, change from the grassroots, change teacher leaders. That is a thing and a real thing. And I want to see that take kind of a real hold and not just me being like, you know, oh, I'm an applied researcher, you know, the comma after teacher. I have some title that's hyphenated, that's real, that's leadership, and not somebody just moving towards management, which I respect, but there's a space for this other piece.
Right, exactly. Wow. With that, I thank you so much, Michelle. That was an inspiring closing. So I think you did give me a little taste of what's to come at the ISTE 16 closing keynote in Denver in late June. I really appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That was Michelle Cordy, who will be providing the closing keynote at ISTE 16 in Denver. Be sure to check out www.mindsharelearning.com to get your latest issue of the Mindshare Learning Report. My name is Robert Mertolacci, and until next time, keep the learning curve steep.